ओम ज्ञानति निरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
You know, Germany has such a reputation in the world that we expect everything to work perfectly in Germany. But it's not true. It's also part of the material world, as we see here. The train I arrived on was 1 hour late today. Will that get in the newspaper? It's not so unusual. No, okay. See, it's another illusion of Germany being so organized. All right. So, in this verse, Lord Krishna is describing the nature of the Absolute Truth. In the previous verse, he had said that to understand the truth, you should approach a self-realized soul. Tattva-darshi. One who has seen the truth can show the truth. Now, in this verse, he describes what that truth is. That all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are but mine, they're part and parcel of Krishna. So we may say that, well, Krishna said to approach a self-realized soul to realize to understand the Absolute Truth. Now Krishna has just described what is the process to obtain knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Then, in this verse, he is describing what is that Absolute Truth. So we may say, well then, Krishna described what is the Absolute Truth and what is the need of approaching a self-realized soul to find out knowledge of that, because now Krishna is saying what that is. Now, Krishna in this verse is explaining what that truth is, that all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna and all living beings are in Krishna. But to understand that properly, It's not just a matter of repeating it parrot-like. Just like if you go to the university, you can learn some formulae. You learn it, you write it down in the examination or in the school. You can learn it and repeat it and pass your examination. But knowledge of Krishna is not simply a matter of learning something. Just like there are many scholars who write books about Krishna consciousness, especially now the Krishna conscious movement is spread all over the world, and different scholars, they write reports on the Krishna consciousness movement, and they write about Vaishnava philosophy. One scholar has written about Radha Kund. It doesn't mean that he knows anything about Radha Kund. You cannot know anything about Radha Kund by making a historical research on it. You can't know anything about Krishna by studying the Bhagavad Gita, by not doing the process mentioned in the previous verse. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. To understand the Absolute Truth, you have to approach one who has seen the truth. What is the first thing you have to do? Pranipat, fall down like a stick. Be humble. This is not very popular. People, they don't want to become humble. They think, especially those who are so-called scholarly, they like to think that we have got a very good brain, and they're out to show who has got the best brain, who can make more research, more theories. It's impossible to understand Krishna by such a process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Ramananda Rai, this forms the most exalted discussion of philosophy. Discussion of the Absolute Truth. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Rai about sadhya sadhana tattva. This means to understand what is the goal of life and how to attain to it. So Ramananda Rai quoted so many points from scripture, how we should follow the varnashram system. That means working within the ancient Vedic varnashram system according to one's particular occupation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. Ramananda Rai suggested that, well, anyway you can work, but don't be attached to the results. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, that's not good enough. And so many things were discussed, that you can cultivate knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, that's not good enough. Then Ramananda Rai suggested you discuss you develop knowledge with devotion. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like that. But eventually, Ramananda Roy quoted one verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked very much. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiyavaritam sthane stita shutigatam tanuvangvanopya ye prayaso jitititopya pitai strilokyam. The meaning of this is that one gyane prayasam udapasya, one should give up the attempt to know everything simply by the power of one's brain. Because it is not possible to understand everything simply with one's brain. This is the great mistake of modern society, modern scholastics, that they think that we simply by study we will understand everything. We will look through our microscope, through our telescope at space, Hubble Bubble telescope, see what's going on. We'll fool people that we're sending a mission to Mars and send back some photos of Arizona desert, just like we did when we went to the moon. Very cheap. It's all cheating. They're saying, we had a very cheap trip to Mars, only $20 billion. Low cost. Taxpayer, please give us $20 billion. So in this way, they're making different theories. But the whole endeavor to understand simply by our brain power is in itself impossible. How much can we understand simply with these brains? Now, we may impress people by making complex technological society. Now they have TVs, they're making this digital TV, so instead of watching all the nonsense on TV, just a normal TV, you can watch it in high resolution. Mickey Mouse in high resolution. You can watch all these things. So they have so many advances, computer technology, fast computers, more and more complex programs, so that even in your home you can make cartoons, for instance, and other important things like that. So scientific, technological advancement is there, but the endeavor to know everything, to think that we know everything, is in itself a foolish attempt. Why should we think we can understand everything? We're tiny, tiny, tiny living beings. Just like if you see an ant crawling here, the ant may think he knows everything, but he doesn't even. If you try to explain to the ant, say if you could learn ant language, you try to explain, what is this room? Why is this building built? What is a Hare Krishna temple? It's completely beyond the scope of his ability to know, because he's only an ant. For the ant, his geography, history, science, everything is from the hole here to here. There's one grain of sugar. And he's going and bringing it back. So in the same way, our ability to understand is extremely limited. The first thing we should understand is that we are extremely tiny. We are very, very tiny beings. We don't even understand how the brain works. I heard that from a neurosurgeon. He told me himself. So he should know. He's cutting them up for a living, putting them back together again. So how the brain works, we don't know. When we eat food, how it all gets digested. Of course, we can study the digestive system, but exactly what is it that makes the whole system function, this fantastic system that we eat and the next day we pass stool, but how everything is going on? The acids come and the food is transformed into blood, fat, marrow, stool, urine. Fantastic mechanism. We can't understand. What to speak of the whole vast universe? Even according to different, both relativity theory and according to quantum theory, they both accept that there may be many spheres of reality which are not within our ability to perceive. We can see, touch, hear, taste, smell, and feel. But there may be other sensory powers which we don't have. Or there may be different. For all we know, there may be so many things which we can't see or we can't perceive in any way. So to think that we can understand everything with our tiny, tiny brain power is, even according to scientific theory, that in itself is doomed. We cannot understand everything. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked this proposition. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Become humble. The beginning of knowledge is to become humble. When we realize I'm very, 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 very small, I'm a tiny living being in a vast universe, I only live for a short time, it's not possible for me to know everything by my own brain power, I'm very insignificant. If someone thinks like that, then he hears from self-realized souls. Then he can begin to understand. This verse is there in Gita, before this. Tadvidhi panipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Pariprashna means to ask all kinds of relevant questions. Sometimes people, they would ask Prabhupada a question like, well, you're supposed to be self-realized. Tell me how many windows there are in the Empire State Building. But that is not the job of a self-realized soul to tell you such things. If you want to know, you go and count them, you rascal. Why should you waste the time of a sadhu? His business is to tell you what is spiritual knowledge. His business is to tell you that there's no point in understanding such a thing, first of all. What will it benefit you if you understand that? What will be the value? So, pariprashna, all kinds of relevant questions. The ideal example is Sanatan Goswami, who was a very learned scholar. He, from the worldly point of view, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the correct kind of question to ask a saintly person. Who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? Who am I? Very important question. Everyone is thinking, I'm German, or I'm British, I'm a man, I'm a woman. Even the dog is thinking, I'm a dog. But actually, who am I? You may think, I am German. So, how old are you? How old are you, Amara Prabhu? Okay, so where were you 29 years ago? You see? Then who are you? You say, I'm proud to be a German. You've only been a German 28 years. What about before that? And what? Where will you be in 128 years from now? Dancing in Goloka Vrindavan, you know. But people, they can't answer these questions. But they're proud to be a German. And this land, we've given the name Deutschland. Some grass is here. If you go a few kilometers, maybe how far? 200 kilometers to the east, then you'll be in Poland. And it's the same grass. And if you look in the field, it'll be the same kind of cows eating the grass. But then the people who are living there say, I am proud to be Polish. And just this side, 10 kilometers, I'm proud to be German. Why? What is your connection with this earth? You've only been here a short time. And we give this land, because this side of one line, we say this is Germany. That side of a line, we say Poland. But who are you actually? The land stays when you go. And after some time, the borders will shift and they'll give another name to the land. It may be that in some hundreds of years, there may be people living in this land who don't speak German at all. It may be like that. Just like in America, there were Red Indians there. And now that culture, that is all gone. Now it's different people there. So things can change. So it's a good question. Who am I? Actually, who am I? Am I this body or am I something else? And kena yamai jare tapatroi. Why am I suffering? Tapatroi. Three kinds of miseries. Three kinds of miseries means those inflicted by the body and mind. There are different, from your body, there's so many things. Just like when it's too cold, you get so many problems. Your feet crack, your skin dries up, you get a cough and a cold. And if you go to a very hot country, then like India, you'll get rashes and maybe stomach problems. The body gives so many different kinds of difficulties. And the mind gives so many difficulties. Now, just in the news recently, this guy who shot so many people. Then he shot some fashion designer, and then he shot himself. So why? Because he's a crazy guy. His mind is torturing him so much that he feels some satisfaction in shooting others. It means he's suffering, and everyone is suffering like this. Just look at the faces of the people on the street. Generally, people think, in other countries, you'll go to other countries, India, Africa, so many countries, poor countries, they'll think, let us come to Germany or America. Because people must be happy there. They have enough money. They have enough money, and when we see the films of America, it's everyone's driving a nice car and everyone's got lots of money. They must be happy. But when we come to Germany, we don't see people. In the advertisements, you see people with big smiles. And sometimes on the street also. But generally, anxiety is written in their face. And even if they're smiling, the lips are smiling. Look at the eyes, inside the eyes. Behind the eyes show clearly that people then, they may be smiling, but inside they're suffering so much anxiety. Even if they have enough money, a nice car, nice apartment, people are suffering because of the mind. So the mind is giving us problems, the body is giving us problems. Another kind of misery because of the weather, natural disturbances. I remember when I was a kid, we used to read about something like cyclones in India kill so many people. But now we have, you see, floods in Germany. We didn't think, this is some a long distance away. This kind of thing can happen. But here also, it's coming here. Nature is giving so many problems. Adhyatmik, adhidaivik, adhibhautik, suffering from other living beings, just like we were just driving past the site of the Berlin Wall. So some people decided we will oppress other people. Don't let them cross this wall. So in so many ways, the politicians and so many, not even politicians, even in the home, sometimes now you see there's this child abuse. What is that? The parents, in many cases, are torturing their own children. Or within the family, one brother doesn't like another brother. So like this, in the office, or in the factory, people are unnecessarily giving each other trouble. Just because they themselves feel so frustrated that they express that frustration by giving trouble to others. So this is material life. You'll see that the dogs also, it's the same thing. There's a piece of food. Someone throws a sausage on the side of the road. Two dogs will go chasing after it. And one will, and they'll fight over. Who is the nastiest? He gets the sausage. And the other one is left to lament. So this is material life. Simply suffering caused by our own body or mind, causing suffering to others, and sufferings caused by nature. So a really intelligent person, instead of trying to adjust this suffering, instead of thinking, well, what kind of car is that? Volkswagen Golf? Yeah, so instead of driving the broken down Volkswagen Golf, if I could get a new BMW, then my life would be just nice. But it's not true. It's an illusion. We're always thinking, if I could just adjust my situation, then I'd be more happy. But it's not true. You see, so many people are driving around in BMWs. Do you become intrinsically happy by having a BMW instead of a Volkswagen Golf? You may feel yourself to be more prestigious than the guy driving around in the Golf. But that feeling of pride is itself another form of suffering. It's another kind of self-torture, that pride. So it's just different varieties of suffering, that's all. So an intelligent person should ask this question. Who am I? Why are we suffering? What is the goal of life? And to ask that question, you should become humble. You should approach someone who knows that knowledge. If we come in thinking, well, I'm already very learned. I know so many things. And you can't begin to learn anything. As Prabhupada said, I don't know how this will translate in German, but understanding means standing under. If you want to think, I can understand everything, and at the same time you want to challenge the person who is giving knowledge, you can't understand. There's one story, just to illustrate this. In the Upanishads, of one king, he had one kind of knowledge. There are many different varieties of knowledge in the Vedic literature. The most important is to understand Krishna. That is the goal of all knowledge. But one form of knowledge this king had was called Vaishvanara Vidya. So some Brahmin sages wanted to learn that. So they came to him, they came to his court, the king seated them very respectfully on high seats, higher than him, because he was a king, and they were sages, living in the forest. So that was the culture, that even a king, he's very strong and powerful, and others respect him, but compared to the sages, he considers himself in a lower position. So he gave them a high seat to sit on. This is the culture, just like you see now, I'm sitting on a higher seat than you. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm intrinsically better than you, but because I've now been asked to speak this knowledge, I'm given a higher seat. And Prabhupada is on a higher seat because I learned this knowledge from him. So that is the culture. Now the king asks the sages, then what do you want? What do you want? Because usually the brahmanas, they don't come to see kings. But if they need something, if they have any particular need, They may come and he will give them something in charity. So they said, well, we would like to learn this knowledge from you. And the king said, well, I don't think I'm qualified to teach you, but you can take anything from me. You can take land, villages, gold. Let me feed you. I will feed you nicely. So the brahmanas, they were very hesitant. They thought, we came here to get this knowledge and now all we're going to get is some food. So the king said, he saw they didn't want to take his food. So he said, don't hesitate to take my food thinking that I'm a king. Generally, Brahmins wouldn't take food from kings because the kings, they have many sinful reactions coming to them. Because the king has to take 1/6 of all his citizens' sinful reactions. You can imagine the president of Germany, what kind of sinful reactions he's getting. It's horrible to think about. Poor man, he thinks he's in a good position. So the king said that, you don't worry, even though I'm a king, you can take my food because everyone in my kingdom is pious. No one in this kingdom lies or steals or cheats or covets others' wives. Everyone is very pious. Therefore, you can eat my food. There's no problem. So they agreed and they ate his food. And then they went. They gave them some nice room to stay in for the evening. And they all discussed that we didn't come here to eat. It was very nice food, but we came here to get this knowledge. Now, why didn't we get that knowledge? And then they discussed and they said that knowledge comes down as water in a river comes down. But we were sitting above the king. So how can you teach if you're sitting below? So then they came the next day with one kind of wood that is used in sacrifices. This is symbolic. When it is in traditional Vedic culture, this is symbolic that when someone is coming to offer himself as a disciple, he will bring a presentation of this wood, which is used for making sacrifices. So he came like this, and they bowed down before the king, and they said, we made a mistake. We accepted a seat above you, and at the same time, we wanted to receive knowledge from you. So even though socially the culture is, as brahmanas, we should sit higher than you, but if we are to learn from you, at least for that time, we should sit below you. So then the king agreed, and he taught them. So this is the system. One has to become namanta eva. One has to become humble, then he can learn. Namanta eva, he has to become humble, offer obeisances, then he has to ask relevant questions, and pariprashnena sevaya, service to guru is required. This, in the predecessor organization to ISKCON, Gauriamat, in those days that was a very lively spiritual organization. Later on there was some history. But two things are very much stressed. Hear and you serve. By hearing, we imbibe this knowledge. Not simply by sitting and studying. That is also there. But by hearing regularly, we can understand. And by serving. Sevan mukhe hi jivado swayameva spuratiyata. That means that when we have an attitude of serving Krishna, then knowledge is revealed to us. I can tell another story in this regard. That here we have the picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru, the Guru of our Guru. So he was a great scholar, unrivaled in the modern age. Tremendous scholar, very deep knowledge. So once one scholar came to see him, another. Indian people, they know the name of Madan Mohan Malaviya. You know the name. He was a famous scholar of that time. He was the Vice Chancellor of Banaras Hindu University and a prominent figure in the Indian independence movement and a great philosopher. So he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once and said, I have some questions to ask of you. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, you please ask the pujaris who are cleaning the brass. It may have sounded like an insult because he's a great scholar. And why should they approach the pujari? Pujaris are not expected to be that much educated. So Madan Mohan Malaviya said that I have very complex questions on Vedanta. Means very deep philosophical questions. I don't think the pujaris can answer. Only you can answer. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, anywhere you go, you please go and ask them. And if they can't answer, then you come back and see me. So anyway, he was submissive enough that he went to the pujaris, even though it might have seemed like an insult to him. So he came to the pujaris. They are only simple village boys who had joined the Gauri Math. They're not big philosophers. Then he said, I have some questions. He said, all right, but now we're busy cleaning the brass. You can help us and afterwards we'll discuss. So he started cleaning the brass. And when they finished cleaning the brass, he didn't ask them any questions. He went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Saraswati Thakur said, so what happened? Did you get your answers? He said, yes. When I was cleaning the brass, all the answers to the questions came automatically in my mind. So Saraswati Thakur said, yes. Sivan mukhi hi jivado swayam eva spurati adam. By serving Krishna, knowledge is automatically revealed. You are approaching me thinking, I'm a big scholar, let me ask some deep philosophical questions. But the way to understand is by Krishna's mercy. Actually, this knowledge cannot be understood without Krishna's mercy. Just like I was saying, there's this man writing big books on Radhakund, history of Radhakund, and different scholars, philosophy, this, that. He doesn't understand anything, nothing, absolutely nothing. He is approaching in absolutely the wrong method. You cannot understand spiritual truth by making academic research. In fact, that kind of research will block your understanding. You'll never understand, because in the very beginning, you have the wrong attitude. Another disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he was illiterate, actually. He simply used to work in the garden. So once some of Saraswati Thakur's disciples were there, very learned, and they were discussing among themselves in a very learned way. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked them some questions they couldn't answer. He wanted to show them. So he said, call that devotee who was in the garden, working, call him from the garden. And he asked him the question. He gave the answer. And they're surprised that we are sitting here studying Vedas, Vedanta, all these things. And he can't even sign his own name. And he's giving the answer. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told, yes, he's giving the answer. Because he's doing nice service and he's hearing from me. Therefore, he can understand everything. By mercy. Yasya deve parabhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katitahyartha prakashante mahatmanaha. One who has firm faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed to him. Not that we should, I'm not saying we shouldn't study. We should study. Prabhupada has written so many books. We should study them. Srila Prabhupada said, these books are my devotional ecstasies. So we should study them. But what is the attitude for study? Service mode. Thinking, how can I serve Krishna? One who has the attitude to serve Krishna, he can begin to understand Krishna. It's not possible to fully understand Krishna. Just like here it said, when you understand the truth, you can understand that all beings in me are in me and all beings are mine. Every living being is part of the parcel of Krishna. What exactly does that mean? Well, that could be understood in so many different ways. There are so many different philosophical systems that have been propagated in India. Shuddha Advaita, Dvaita Advaita, Veda Veda, Achintya Veda Veda, Vishishta Advaita, so many different philosophical systems which seek to explain the relationships between the Supreme, the living beings, and matter. Jeev, Jara, and Ishvara. And so there are different systems. The Kevaladvaitavad of Shankaracharya seeks to establish that there is no difference between Jiva and Ishvara. And Jara, Jiva means the living beings, Ishvara means the Supreme Lord. And Jara, or the material world, it simply doesn't exist. It's just an illusion. So that's one philosophy, which is bogus. Then Vishishtadvaitavad attempts to explain how all the living beings, they are like the body of the Lord, who is like the soul of the body. So there are different ways of explaining this, but the most important thing to understand, the essence of all understanding of the Absolute Truth, is actually not very difficult to understand. There are many, many complex systems, and practically in the modern age, Who can understand all these things? Very complex philosophical systems. Even if we start to explain them, who is going to understand? But what is the essence of all philosophy? That we are living spirit souls. We are not this body. We are jiva, means living spirit souls. And there is Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord. And we are His servant. We are meant to serve Him. And when we serve Him, we become free from illusion and we go to the spiritual world to serve Krishna. That is the essence of all knowledge. You can put it in a few lines. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has put it very simply. Jeev Krishna Das Abhishas Karaleta Ardukonai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Reshabai. There's the essence of the Absolute Truth in a few simple Bengali words. Jeev Krishna Das. Jeev means we are Jeev, we are soul. We are not the body. The body is temporary, but I am eternal spirit soul. So, alright, I'm soul, so what? What am I supposed to do? You can walk around saying, aham brahmasmi, means I am spiritual, alright, but what are you, okay, well, what does it mean? What are you supposed to do? Simply thinking I'm spiritual, well, it doesn't mean anything, but what are you supposed to do? And now, in material life, you're eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and if you simply eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and say, aham brahmasmi, then what's the difference? What is your realization? So a realization that I am not this body, I'm eternal spirit soul, means we have to act as soul. So what is the activity of the soul? What is the soul supposed to do? What is the soul doing in the liberated position? Jeev Krishna Das. The living being is the servant of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are eternally the servant of Krishna. Has anyone ever heard that being said before? We are all the eternal servants of Krishna. Have you heard that said before? Who's heard this said before? Good. Let's hear it again. We're all eternal spirit souls. We're all eternal servants of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The essence of all philosophy, the essence of all understanding. Jeev Krishna Das. We are the servants of Krishna. So, all right. You can do your Bhakti Shastra examination and write down what is the position of the soul. Servant, eternal servant of Krishna. Alright, very good. So what does that mean, practically? That means, we chant the names of Krishna, we cook for Krishna, we clean for Krishna, we wash the floor for Krishna. We serve Krishna. Servant of Krishna means, what should he do? What should the servant do? What is the servant supposed to do? To serve. It's a simple answer, isn't it? Just like, what does Krishna consciousness mean? It means to be conscious of Krishna. It's a very simple thing to understand. But you actually have to do it. Serve Krishna. Jeev Krishna Das Abhishas. You just accept this. Understand it. That's all. You don't have to understand anything else. All these books are meant for understanding that. And we're simply meant to serve Krishna. And if we do that, then Koraleta Ardukanai. All problems finished. Every problem you can imagine. And there are so many. The material energy has more problems than we can imagine. Even if we think we could summarize all the problems in the world, Maya will invent more. This material world is full of problems, unlimited problems, ashesha klesha. There's no end to the problems. But whatever the problems are, we can solve all your problems. This is our claim in the Krishna conscious movement. We can solve all problems. So people will be surprised. What? You can solve all problems? Just by jumping up and down and singing, banging those drums. And this is going up and down while you're dancing. And you can solve all problems? Yes, we can solve all problems. Because all your problems are caused because you don't jump up and down and sing and dance, Hare Krishna. And if you did that, then all your problems would be solved. No, they won't accept. And then we'll show, philosophically and practically. You have so many problems in your life, what are those problems? First problem is, I don't have enough money. That's not a problem. First you become Krishna conscious, then you understand. It's not a problem. It may be a problem, as far as the body is concerned, but it's only a temporary problem. Because, first thing, what is enough money? People think I have to have a house, a car, TV, fridge, freezer. You have to go on holiday to Spain. You don't need all these things. So, when you become Krishna conscious, you can sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna. Now, of course, in this country, they'll probably arrest you if you try to do that. If you try to live under a tree. But the point is that we can live very simply. We don't need so many things. So many of the problems we have created by artificial needs. And then even if there's some problem, just like I have a pain in my back. It's a very common thing in the modern age. So many people have pains in their back. But when you realize, okay, it's there, but it's only temporary. This body is temporary. So tolerate. Tangs titiksha svabharata. Tolerate, knowing that all these things are temporary. And go on with our devotional service. Seeing that now we have to give up this body and go to the eternal spiritual world. So all problems are solved means that many of the problems which we create by mental concoction, we automatically leave them behind when we become Krishna conscious. And other problems, we just learn to tolerate them, that's all. So by becoming Krishna conscious, all the problems go away. Jeev Krishna does. Ibishas, Karleta, Ardu Kanai. Then what should we do? Chant Hare Krishna. Radha Krishna, Bol Bol, Bolo Resha Bhai. So simple. But to understand these things, because we are not simple, we have this word, but. How do you say but in German?
Aber.
Aber. Aber. It's a complex word. Very complex word. We'll say, we are spirit souls, eternal servants of Krishna. And then someone will say, Abba. But. Okay, that's all right. Abba. But. I have some other idea. What about this? What about that? So here we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita, we assist. We have Hare Krishna. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. All so much knowledge to answer all the different points so that we can understand clearly. Because by nature we are curious. We see the stars at night. At least those who have some philosophical conception, they wonder what is going on. Or we read the newspaper and in the newspaper they tell us they went to Mars and they have discovered how life is coming from matter and they have so many different ideas and we are influenced by this. We're influenced by the pressure of modern society, which makes us think that life is meant for enjoying the senses. Why shouldn't we? Seems like a good proposition. I think I would become happy if I could enjoy. There are so many young women we'll see, so much nice men, and young men we'll see, so many nice young women. Why should we not enjoy? Surely that would lead to enjoyment. Or if I had a nice house, car, all these things. So these doubts come. Because we have been trying to enjoy this material world. So Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, answer all these doubts. But that also, you have to hear it. You have to hear it from Tattvadarshi, one who has seen the truth, who can guide us in the proper way of understanding. Not only theoretical, but practical. Guide us, do this service. Just like that Bhaktisthan Sasra Thakur told Madan Mohan Malavya. Don't ask the question, go do the service. So according to our need, the knowledge will be given to us. We may think, I have this question. Many times people come to Prabhupada, they'd ask a question. Prabhupada would just give a different answer altogether. Because the people, they didn't know which question, they're so confused, they didn't even know which question they should be asking. So he would answer the question that they needed to ask. Just like once some philosophers, so-called, came to Prabhupada, and said, why does anything exist? And Prabhupada said, no, that's the wrong question. The real question you should ask is, where has everything come from? There's no use to ask why does anything exist, because anyway it is existing. So you're asking why won't make any difference. Where has it all come from? That's the first thing to ask. Then you'll understand why it exists. It came from Krishna. Why did Krishna make it? Then that's a whole explanation. Why does anything in this material world exist? Because we, the conditioned souls, desired that. We desired this miserable place where we could attempt to enjoy our senses. So, pariprasnena sevaya, by this process, tadviti pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, by this process, by hearing, everything will be understood. By hearing from the right source. It's no use to hear from someone who doesn't know what is the actual fact. You have to hear from someone who knows and who knows how to teach. Just like you'll see Prabhupada always used to say there are two kinds of Bhagavats. Srimad Bhagavatam book Bhagavat. And person Bhagavat means the devotee. So, which is the more important? Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Ek Bhagavata Bharo Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. There's one main Bhagavat, which means the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's another one, which means the devotee, who is the reservoir of loving mellows of devotional service. So here the Bhagavat is established as important, the book, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, is Krishna in literary form. And the devotee speaks what is in the Bhagavatam. The devotee is the servant of the Bhagavatam. But from the point of view of the disciple, the person Bhagavat is even more important. Why is that? Once one devotee asked Prabhupada, why is it said that the person Bhagavat is more important than the book Bhagavat? Prabhupada said, because he can pull your ear. You can read the book and you can speculate or you can not follow. But the person Bhagavat will say, you rascal, do some service to Krishna. Just try to understand this. So this is the... But who will listen to this? You see, what is the duty of the guru? To chastise the disciple, to teach. And in teaching, chastisement will also come. Of course, nowadays in the modern educational institutions, if the teacher says anything against the student, they'll sue him. He's not allowed to discipline him. Therefore, you can't actually teach. Teaching begins with character teaching. Unless there's proper character, no one can understand this spiritual knowledge. That's why in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, before anyone is accepted as a disciple, first of all, they have to agree to follow minimum four principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Otherwise, there's no question of understanding the absolute truth. As long as we remain impure in our habits and our thoughts, we can't understand the absolute truth. So our thoughts, they may be contaminated in so many ways. But to begin cleaning our consciousness, we have to follow a program by which one hand, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, chanting cleans the heart. On the other hand, we have to refrain from sinful activities which contaminate the mind. So we have to be pure, then we can begin to understand the absolute truth. So that means we have to follow the principles, we have to become humble, we have to accept discipline. In English, there's the words disciple and discipline are related. In Sanskrit, it's the same. Shishya and Shashan. Shishya means disciple, Shashan means discipline. In German, doesn't follow that. It came in Latin and Sanskrit, quite different words. But that is there, Shishya and Shashan. Shishya means disciple, it means he who follows the Shashan, or the discipline of the Guru. So, the Guru means he instructs this spiritual knowledge in a particular way so that the disciple can understand. And the disciple can't say, well, I don't. You should teach another way. Or now you teach me something else. He has to be taught in exactly the way the Guru teaches. So here we see Krishna is teaching Arjuna point by point. There are so many different points. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. Ultimately Krishna comes to this point. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Ahang tuang sarvapapibhyo moksha yishami mashucha. Give up all different other ideas. Just surrender to me only. I will deliver you. But to bring Arjuna to that point, Krishna discussed so many different doubts which Arjuna had and showed actually this is the proper path to surrender to Krishna. So this is the way to understand the absolute truth. That is what is discussing this absolute truth. This is the actual subject that should be discussed. Despite so much advancement in intelligence and technology, what is the actual point of life has been completely missed. And people are busy utilizing their intelligence for things which cannot actually benefit them. Because they have no higher knowledge, despite all their technological advancement, they come to the same things. How to enjoy sex and alcohol, basically. Sex, alcohol and sausages. This is German life, right? German culture. So where's the actual advancement? Very sophisticatedly making sausages in a factory. So this is not advancement. The Krishna Conscious Movement is such an exalted platform that people, actually they cannot even begin to relate to it in many cases. We're discussing what are the different phases of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. It's actually very elevated philosophy, which normally can only be understood by great yogis after many, many births. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan nangrapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually acknowledged surrenders to me, knowing me to be the absolute truth. After many births of being a highly purified yogi, someone can begin to understand Krishna. And here we are, we're all sausage eaters of the past. And we're discussing Bhagavad Gita. So how is that possible? That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. Actually, we shouldn't be proud. We were just discussing that as we came in the car here. That according to the materialistic way of thinking, Germans are very advanced people. But according to the Vedic way of understanding, not only Germans, but anyone outside the Vedic culture is rejected as mlecha. They're not considered fit to understand this Vedic knowledge. Because materialistic advancement is not the clue to understand spiritual life. When Prabhupada's first Western disciples came to India, many Hindus they rejected. Oh, you cannot follow this. In your next life, after many lifetimes, you may be able to follow this. But no, you can follow this in this lifetime. And you can come to a platform more elevated than that. Even of an ordinary Brahmana. Brahmana means who is actually a Brahmana. He's not an ordinary person. He's studying the scriptures, very pure in his habits, very clean, very learned, austere, renounced. But a devotee of Krishna coming from any background is more elevated. That is especially the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that allows us, who we're not actually, by our background, we're not fit to enter into this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy that by taking this chanting and by taking this attitude of submission to the Mahabhagavad Guru, then we can begin to understand this knowledge. And not only begin to understand it, but act on the most exalted platform, Viprad Vishadaguna, Yuta Aravinda Nava Pada Aravinda Vimukhat. Swapacham Varishta, Prahlad Maharaj said that even if someone is born in a family of dog eaters, if he is a devotee of Krishna, he's better than even a Brahmana who's got many good qualities. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that we can understand this. We're very, very fortunate to be able to understand this. Very, very fortunate. So we should take this very seriously. Here Krishna is describing the absolute truth and the process to understand it. And we can take it up. We don't have to wait to be born in the next life. Right now, every one of us can take up Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, and achieve the highest perfection of life that could not be imagined even by great yogis who are with great difficulty controlling their breath, performing austerities. We don't have to do anything like that. Simply chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasad, dance in kirtan, study Bhagavad Gita as it is, and do some service to Krishna. You can clean the floor. It's not a very difficult thing. After the feast is over, someone can clean the floor. Someone is cooking for Krishna. Someone is distributing these books of Krishna. Whatever you can do, do it for Krishna. Anyway, we have to do something. If you just sit in your apartment, it's boring. So do something. Don't be idle. Do something. Do it for Krishna. And just by cleaning the floor for Krishna, you become more exalted than great yogis. Just by doing that for Krishna. It's such a nice process. By serving Krishna, you become so much advanced. And the absolute truth becomes revealed to such a person. Siva Mukhe Hijivado Swayameva Spuratiyada. Simply by that attitude of service to Krishna. Krishna, who cannot be known by great yogis, is easily understood. So no doubt, everything I said today, you've heard it all before. We're not the body. We're eternal servants of Krishna. We're meant to serve Krishna. Krishna is the topmost servable person. He is the object of service. He is the object of love. We should do that for our own benefit. I'm sure you've heard it all before. And if you come here regularly, I'm sure you'll hear it again. Let us hear it again and again and again. Because when we're sitting here, we're thinking, yeah, okay. And then we may go out and say, hey, not so okay. I should do something for my own sense gratification. This is Maya. Maya works in such a way that we tend to revert back to that nature. Our actual nature is to serve Krishna. But we're so much accustomed to being in diseased mentality that we think it is natural not to serve Krishna. And our tendency is to slip back into that maya. Therefore, we should associate with devotees, serve Krishna, and regularly hear why we're supposed to serve Krishna. And not just as a philosophical point, but relishing Krishna consciousness. We can relish Krishna consciousness by serving Krishna, by chanting Hare Krishna. This kirtan is very relishable. Do you all enjoy chanting Hare Krishna? You like that? You get pleasure from that? Chanting the names of Krishna. So that is higher spiritual pleasure, better than anything in the material world. There's nambina akichu nahikawa chodda bhuvanamaja. There's nothing in the whole 14 worlds that can compare to the chanting of Hare Krishna. You see these people, they want to go to Mars. But even if they can go, what will they get from that? You can stay here and chant Hare Krishna much better. Even if you go to, you won't find anything on Mars which is better than chanting Hare Krishna. They're running away to Mars, and here, they can, right here, they can chant Hare Krishna. How they're wasting their time. So we won't waste our time. We'll chant Hare Krishna. That's better. Is there any question? Please.
You were saying that the non-devotees, they are thinking, if I have a BMW now, then I will be happy. And this would be not true. So if I practice spiritual life, then I sometimes also think, oh, if I have another service, I will be happy. Or if I'm living on the countryside, I'm happy. Or this or that.
Yeah.
Is this the same as
it's the same kind of propensity. It's a similar propensity. We should understand we will be happy by serving Krishna. A haituki serve, it means without any personal desire. It's the same mentality. Just a few days ago, I was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, our country estate there near London. And there's the fence is there, and the cows are inside. And you can see all around the outside of the fence, all the grass is completely clipped. And the cows, they always come to the edge of the field and stick their head under the fence. And they're eating like this. It's just, why they should do that? It's the same grass outside and inside. But they think, the grass on the outside must be better. The grass is always greener on the other side. So actually we'll be happy by serving Krishna. Now it may be that according to our psychophysical nature, we may be engaged in different ways. That's also true. But when we actually understand Krishna consciousness, then the fact is that we'll be so happy. I got the chance to serve Krishna anyway. We should be so happy. But this mentality, let me go somewhere else, try something. And it's the same thing, just like the man, he's driving a Volkswagen Golf. Then he wins the lottery. He buys himself a BMW. And then he's thinking, well, actually, I should have got a Rolls Royce. It's unending. Unending. We're always thinking, let me change my position, this, that. So we should understand our actual happiness will be in surrendering to Krishna. And when we do that, when we stop desiring something else, this, that, something else, and actually put our mind into the service we've been asked to do, and try to do it to the best of our ability, and pray to Krishna, Krishna, please help me to do this. Then we'll be happy, whatever the service is. That's the actual fact. And even if we have desires in devotional service, Krishna will also fulfill them, but in such a way that we will also understand that whatever desires we have, they're insignificant in comparison to actually serving Krishna. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he desired a great kingdom, therefore he worshipped Krishna. But then while he was worshipping Krishna, he got a taste for devotional service. And then he didn't want a kingdom anymore. But still Krishna gave it to him, and then he was thinking, now I've got to rule this kingdom. I could have gone back to Godhead. I know when I was a kid, I was thinking, well, I'd like to travel all over the world. Mostly when you're young, you think, let me go to all these places. So I was going to, but then just before I set off on my travels, I happened to visit the Hare Krishna temple. Then my plans for traveling all over the world came to an end, and I said I was just traveling around England in a Sankirtan van. But consequently, I did get to travel all over the world. I mean, traveling now, people say, oh, it must be exciting to travel. It's not exciting to travel. Wherever you go, it's just, you know, there's buildings and people suffering, birth, death, old age, and disease, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In some places they speak German, which I can't understand. In some places they speak Croatian, which I also can't understand. And, you know, it's more or less the same everywhere. In Germany, the roads are better than India, but what's the big thing? What's the great difference? So, at that time, when I was young, I was thinking traveling would be fun. Traveling, of course, preaching in different places, that's a great mercy, to be able to go to different places. But the actual fact, traveling, people say, have a good journey. What does it mean, have a good journey? What's the fun? If you had to choose, just like airline hostesses, people think that's an exciting job. What's exciting? You're inside a plane, giving people food and cleaning up the mess after them, and then you get down an airport, and then you turn around and come back. Or sometimes you stop for 2 days in some city and stay in some hotel. Where's the glamour in travel? There's no fun in anything in material life. But if we have some desire, Krishna may fulfill it. And then we'll see, actually there's no fun in it. The only fun is in serving Krishna. There's no pleasure in this material world, except service to Krishna.
Sometimes it's happening that I'm doing service for Krishna, that I'm not very inspired to serve Krishna, that there's no enthusiasm to serve Krishna.
That's very good.
How can I get more enthusiasm or inspiration than to do?
These are important points. Enthusiasm and inspiration to serve, and duty to serve. Now, actually we should be inspired. If we understand what we are doing, if we understand why we are doing what we are doing, why should we not be inspired? Because after millions of lifetimes of serving Maya, now we have the chance to serve Krishna. And what could be more ecstatic than this? Even great demigods, they're praying for the opportunity to be born on this earth planet now so they can join this movement and serve Krishna, so they can go back to Godhead. So that inspiration comes from regularly hearing attentively and trying to understand. Then by hearing, we understand why we are doing what we are doing, and then we become blissful. Instead of thinking, God, I'm cleaning the floor, think, I'm cleaning the floor for Krishna. What a wonderful opportunity. Then anything we're doing, we become blissful. But even if we're not always on that platform, then another platform is duty. We should think, even if I personally would choose to do another service, because this duty has been given to me by my spiritual master and Krishna, therefore I should do it. So that sense of dutifulness is also very good. Prabhupada used to say sometimes that he was asked, why have you come to America? It's my duty, my spiritual master ordered me. So that sense of duty is also very important in devotional service. Sometimes we may feel some attraction to break the regulated principles, and then when you think, well, I promised my spiritual master, and how can I break that? That sense of duty is very important. In the modern age, people are brought up without that. It's a very selfish age in which people are brought up just to enjoy yourself. It doesn't matter. You got married and you have 3 children, but anyway, now your wife is getting older and the secretary in your office is more young and beautiful, so kick out your wife and take a second wife, your secretary. No sense of duty. That I promised to look after this wife and I had the child. So everything just for your own sense gratification. This is the modern age. No sense of duty. But that sense of duty is very important, actually not only in spiritual life, just for normal civilized life, which is almost dead in the modern age. So that's very good. At least that should be their sense of duty. But even if you do it out of sense of duty and then you pray to Krishna, Krishna, please help me to understand, then Krishna will bless you. Actually, if we go through difficulties in devotional service, thinking, that even if we struggle sometimes, if we think that, anyway, let me do it for Krishna, then after some period of struggle, Krishna will bless you with bliss, because you went on struggling in difficulty, remaining faithful to Krishna. It's good to have some difficulties in devotional life, to go through them. Then Krishna becomes very pleased that we're not just serving Him for our own pleasure. But even when we don't feel pleasure, if we go, actually we should feel pleasure in serving Krishna. That's the natural position of the soul, to be happy in service to Krishna. But if we stick to our service despite all difficulties, Krishna becomes very pleased. And Krishna actually often tests his devotees to see how much they're willing to stick to his service, despite all difficulties. And then if they stick to their service, despite all difficulties, Krishna becomes very, very pleased. That is the test of love. It's very easy to say, I love you. But then we have to see, love means even in difficulties, you go on serving, you stick to your service. Any other question?
Are there any
information about Mars? In the Vedas about Mars, yeah. Mars is called Bud. That is the name. In the days of the week, we have Budva, means Tuesday. That's considered in astrology, that's generally considered a malefic planet. Malefic means inauspicious. Means its effect is inauspicious. Generally, can be auspicious. Just like Saturn is considered an inauspicious planet because it destroys material enjoyment, but for a spiritualist, it's very good. Venus is considered a good planet because if you have that in your chart, because that brings material enjoyment, but for someone who wants spiritual advancement, the influence of Venus is not wanted. So different people have different outlooks. Just like one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cursed by a Brahmin that you will have no, all your plans for material enjoyment will be spoiled. It was a curse, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. Oh, that's good. So, we have arati, kirtan, is it? Prasadam. Prasadam first and kirtan afterwards? Oh, well, let's have some kirtan first. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. We can have a little more kirtan, I think so. I only had a short kirtan. I mean, I only came here for 10 minutes before.
I found a question about the service to Krishna. The question is, how can you serve Krishna when you don't want to serve Krishna?
Gatida, do one thing. Bring some of my books from the front. My books are on the book table. Well, first then we should want to serve Krishna.
What?
First we should get the desire to serve Krishna. Otherwise no one's forcing us to serve Krishna.
That's what I'm thinking. When you have no desire to serve Krishna,
then we're in a very unfortunate position.
You could never serve Krishna. So how I can get a desire to serve Krishna when I really have no desire to serve Krishna?
You have no desire to serve Krishna?
No.
Well, right now we're going to have the Sunday feast. Would you like to help clean up afterwards? Do you think you could help with that? Even if you don't want to, you could do it. I mean, it wouldn't harm you, would it? If you take it, you could just take it as service to...
You are right, but it could be a misunderstanding. I don't want to come in a misunderstanding. I cannot...
Then just clean to help the devotees because they worked hard to...
It is not possible because I was cleaning already. And even today I was cleaning already before.
Alright, so you chant Hare Krishna with us and take prasad.
Yeah, but this is not really the answer of the question, understand?
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have some books here which are for sale. I have written these books. Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. This is How to Practice Krishna Consciousness at Home. You can buy this book. This will explain to you. This is for 3 marks. Donations go towards printing new books. I have one of these left. Do you have one of these? You must be having it. Bhangshi Das Babaji. It's a biography. Jai Srila Prabhupada. This is Appreciations of Srila Prabhupada. And My Memories of Srila Prabhupada. Which are for sale. You can... Well, if you read the book, you'll find out. No, well, that's, you see, his name is, it comes on our Vaishnav calendar. But before this book was written, no one knew. Now they know. I'll read the back page. Srila Bhangshi Das Babaji Maharaj was a great Vaishnav saint who lived in Navadvip during the first half of the 20th century. His behavior was so unusual that in any culture less spiritually enlightened than that of India, he would almost certainly have been considered crazy. Although physically present in this world, he had little connection with it. He was about 6 feet tall and strongly built. His hair and beard were uncut, matted, and disheveled. He never took bath and his eyes looked wild. He wore a loincloth only and nothing more. This book introduces us to a personality so extraordinary and exalted